Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let us begin. Let's begin. This week is Parashas B'Shalach. Rabbi Yisai, Parashas B'Shalach, Shabbos Shira, a very special Shabbos. We lay in two Shiras, in fact. We lay in Shiras Moshe and Shiras Devoira. The first pasuk of the parasha begins, V'hi B'Shalach Parasam, V'lo Nochom Elokim Derech Eretz Pelishtim, Ki Koroif, Hashem did not wish for the people too. Rashi translates the word nochom in a very unusual way. Nochom is short for nohogom. Okay, the word nochom, he really transmogrifies. Veloy nochom, the first pasuk in the parasha. Veloy nochom Elokim. What is the translation of the word nochom? Rashi, nohogom, nahag, a driver, a leader. Hashem did not lead them. Lead them derech through the path of Eretz Pelishtim. Why? Ki koroifu, because it was near. In other words, being near is not a mila. What's the problem? Ki amar lokim pen yinachem am bir oisam milchama, lest the people change their mind. They'll have regrets that they left Egypt when they come to the land of Pelishtim, and the Pelishtim come out to fight against them, and they're going to say to themselves, what do we all need? What do we need this for? Why should we go to battle and die? Our children will die in war. Who needs this? Let's just go back to Egypt. We had a good life there. We had jobs. We had welfare. We had a pension, and they took care of us. We had a burial grave. So therefore, let's just go back to Egypt. Who needs this? So Hashem did not want them to do that. Hashem wanted them to be free people. Hashem wanted them to be independent. Therefore, Hashem took him the circuitous route so that in case things do not go well, they still cannot go back. It's too difficult to return. There's only one way to go forward. That is the Pshuto Shel Mikra. That is how Rashi learned Pshat in the Pasuk. And indeed, that is a Targum. Targum's Kamat says the same thing. Now, there are many, many Midrashim. And then Midrashim, one of the Midrashim I want to pick upon is the word Nocham. The Midrash says, do not read it Nocham, but rather read it Nicham. Nicham means comfort. And what are we referring to? Nicham Elokim Derech Eretz Pelishtim. The Midrash explains, Eretz Pelishtim is a reference to the Bnei Ephraim. We learn in the Medrash that 30 years before Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Bnei Ephraim, Shevet Ephraim, made a calculation that the time of Geula is now. And they took advantage of the situation. They said, if the time of Geula is now, we have to leave. And they all got up together and they rebelled against Egypt and they left by force. They succeeded. 30 years before the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, a group of Jews in Mitzrayim formed a rebellion. They were successful. They broke out of Egypt, even though we have a Chazal that tells us it never happened that a slave was able to escape from Egypt. They did. They broke out of Alcatraz. Okay, they were able to get out. They were maneuvered themselves to form this rebellion, and they went to Eretz Yisrael, and on the way to Eretz Yisrael, they met up with the Pelishtim, who went to war with them, and the Pelishtim won the battle. They may have won the war with Egypt, but they lost the battle with the Pelishtim, and there were no survivors. At Kedei Kach, their bones were just spread all over the field, the battlefield, in the land of the Pelishtim. So let me just take a step back. The popular Medrash, the Medrash that I think we're more familiar with is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want the Jewish people to travel through the land of the Pelishtim, because when they'll come to the land of the Pelishtim, the short route to Eretz Yisrael, they will come across the bones of their brothers, of Bnei Ephraim, and it will demoralize them. It could be they did not even know what happened to Ephraim. Who says they even got a report what happened to them? Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But when they will see firsthand the bones of Shevet Ephraim thrown all over the battlefield, they will become demoralized. And then when they'll have to fight, they're not going to fight with vigor, with strength. They will lose the battle and they will die. So Hashem says, better they don't go through the short path to Eretz Yisrael and come across the bones of their brother, Ephraim. They should take the circuitous path, and not see the horror, the carnage of what happened 30 years before. That's a very popular approach that it's given in the Medrash. You see that often. But there's another Medrash that's not so popular, it's not so discussed as much, and that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not really clear what the Medrash means. I want to suggest an idea, not really a suggestion, I just want to just connect the dots in this one pasuk and say an idea. The Medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want the Jews to pass through the land of the pollution because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was still in mourning over the bones of the pollution, which means v'loy nochom. Nochom miloshon nichum, nichum aveilim. Yaakov Avinu, when he found out that his son was ripped apart, hakerna, look at the kesoinis pas, look at the blood. What does the pasuk say, Yaakov Avinu? Vayimoein lehisnachein. He refused to find comfort. Vayimoein lehisnachein. The Ribbono Shel Olam at this point was also begeder vayimoein lehisnachein. He had enormous pain that an entire shevet of Klal Yisrael was wiped out because they made the mistake and they left Egypt 30 years too soon. They did not listen to the Gedolim, who told them it's not yet the time to go, stay put, it's too early to go. They did not listen, they went forward, they were unsuccessful, and they died. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had enormous pain from this. V'loy nochom Elokim, the Medrash says, Hashem did not yet have comfort. He was still in Avelus. And therefore, now you have to go study the Medrash in much more detail to understand what exactly the Medrash means. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to be to be pained by the Jewish people coming across the bones of their brother Ephraim, and that would just open up, that would just irritate an open wound. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already had Nechama, they died, nu ma'ashoy kvar haya, let's go further. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do miracles for Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in so much pain what happened to the Bnei Ephraim, it would just open up an old wound and the success of Klal Yisrael would be limited had they gone through that path. That's basically what the Medrash seems to say. I want to expand upon that by taking note the next words of the Pasuk. Ki amar Elokim pen yinochem ha'am. Now, we have to say that the Medrash should be consistent. If the word nocham means comfort, v'loy nocham elokim, then when the pasuk at the end says pen yinochem ha'am means they will have comfort. Now, pen means Hashem says, I do not want you to have comfort. There's a difference between the word ulai and the word pen. Ulai means I hope this situation will come to be. Pen means I hope that this situation will not come to be. The word is used twice, v'loy nocham elokim, pen yinochem ha'am. When you put these two expressions together, it means as follows. Hashem says, listen, I am still in mourning. I am in avelus over the tragedy that an entire shevet of Klal Yisrael was wiped out. If you, Klal Yisrael, are also mourning their loss, then it's okay. We're on the same team. We're on the same page. I have tsar, you have tsar, we can commiserate together. But you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid now it's 30 years already since this happened. You've experienced miracles, Nisim and Niflois, Ten Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf. You forgot about them. You couldn't care less about them. It's over. Masha Hoya Kvar Hoya. Shevet Ephraim is ancient history. It's in an art scroll history book. It's not relevant to us anymore. Ew, maybe once in a while we'll think about it. Hashem says, by me the wound is fresh. Hashem is in the matziv, v'loy nocham. I don't have comfort. I'm still mourning. Vayimoein lehisnachim. If you, Klal Yisrael, are also in that frame of mind, of vayimoein lehisnachim, v'loy nocham, you know what? You can go derech eretz polishtim. When you'll see the bones of your brothers, of your brother lying all over the field, you'll set up a memorial, you'll deliver hespedim, you'll light candles, and we'll mourn together. I'll mourn, you'll mourn, we'll commiserate with one another. But you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid you're going to go to the Derech Eretz Polishtim, you're going to come to the battlefield, you're going to see the bones of your brother Ephraim, and You're going to say, eh, too bad for them. Too bad for them. Mashahoya kvarhoya, they didn't listen, they got what they deserved. We're not mourning for them anymore. We've already said Kaddish, let's move on with life. And Hashem says, but I'm still mourning. That's not a good recipe. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still mourning the loss of a segment of Klal Yisrael, and you're not mourning a segment of Klal Yisrael, that is Churban. So Memela, the Pasuk says, why didn't Hashem take Klal Yisrael derech Eretz Pelishtim? You know why? Because Hashem says, put the pieces together. Because V'loy Nocham Elokim and Pen Yinochem Ha'om. Because I didn't forget. And I'm afraid that you forgot. And this situation of me not forgetting and you forgetting is explosive. This is a very, very bad situation. And that could lead to punishment. That could lead to a lot of problems. So therefore, you know what? Let's not confront the issue. Let's not bring the issue forward. Let's avoid the issue by going around in a circuitous path. Moshul l'mahadavar doimer. Holocaust. We are now struggling. It's been over 70 years since the end of the Holocaust, since the end of the war. And there are very few survivors alive. And those survivors that are alive are very old and not very active. And Rachman al-Son is a new generation that doesn't even know what a number is. There was this famous story where a fellow saw someone putting on tefillin and he saw there was something on his arm that was like a tattoo. And he told this old guy, 90 years old, he says, you know, it was a shayla of yoytze, the mitzvah of tefillin, because there's a chatzitza on your bicep. Shaita, you know what that tattoo on the bicep is? You know what this is? I don't know, it looks like a tattoo. You must be a Baal Tshuva. You must, once upon a time, have been driving a Harley. You were driving a Harley. I said, a Harley? You were driving a Harley motorcycle. Shaita, you don't know what this is? I don't know what it is. This is a number. This is what they did to you in Auschwitz. They stamped a number like an animal on you. We're living now in a generation where people are ignorant. They don't know.
Not only that, they want you to.
They don't want to know. And we're not talking about the goyim. We're talking about us in the regular yeshiva. We're talking about the regular yeshivas over here. We're not talking about. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. And you'll tell them, so they'll say, that was the tziyonim. That wasn't us. That was only the tziyonim. That wasn't us. And we're living in a crazy world. There's a very great danger today of pen yinochem ha'am. No, it's over. What was, was. The Ribbono shel Olam says, v'loy nochem. I didn't forget. I'm still in mourning. By me, it's vayimoein lehisnachem. I refuse to have comfort for the tragedy. Okay, so what about you? If you will also refuse to have comfort, if you'll be like me, we can commiserate together. I'll take you right into Eretz Yisrael. But you know what the problem is? I see what's going on. I see the problem is pen yinochem ha'am. The people don't really care anymore. They've already accepted it. They've already have comfort. That's very dangerous. If we go to Eretz Pelishtim and we come into focus, the bones of the dead, of the Shevet Ephraim, that was wiped out. Genocide. And I'm in mourning. And you're not in mourning? Ha ha, this is no good. This is no good. And therefore, the only solution is, let's avoid the situation. That's not the solution. Either. The solution is that we should wake up and appreciate and also be on the Madrega of V'lo Yinochem. But unfortunately, the facts on the ground are such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it would not be a good situation, and he did us the toiva of not going in that path, maybe in fact to awaken us, you know, there are people that are not going out with you. There are people who, the Hamushim, only 4/5 of the Jewish people that did not go out. And what about the people in the Eretz Palestine, the Bnei Ephraim 30 years ago? This is the Nisoyon of life. Is V'loy Nochom Elokim verse Pen Yinochem Ha'am. I didn't forget, so you don't forget. Okay, it's a powerful lesson, especially now in this Tkufa when we relate to the Holocaust. Let's go now to another idea. What is the difference between... What is the difference between Parshas Bo? Well, not Parshas Bo. I think they're like Parshas Shemos. Parshas Shemos and Parshas Beshalach. Parshas Shemos was the beginning of the Geula. Moshe Rabbeinu appears on the scene and he says, Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam sent me to be your Goyel, your Redeemer. Parshas Beshalach is the finale. This is the finale. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Egyptians are dead. We are on the other side of the Yam. We have prevailed. We are free men. It's over. Both of them are described with a very similar expression. And the expression is Emunah. When Moshe Rabbeinu first appears on the scene and he says to Klal Yisrael, Pokoi Pokaditi, Hashem has remembered you. What is the immediate first response of the Jewish people? Vayamein ha'am. The people believed. Ki fokad Hashem es amo, that Hashem Ribbono Shel Olam has remembered his people and will bring about Geula. What does it say when after the conclusion? What does it say? It says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uve Moshe avdo. Vayaminu b'Hashem. Same thing. But there's a difference. What's the difference? The difference is in Parsha Shemos it says Vayamein ha'om. The people believed. It doesn't say they believed in Hashem. They believed theoretically that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam who made a promise and is now going to deliver on the promise. They took themselves out of the picture, even though they were the subject of the entire event, but Vayamein Ha'am, the people believed that Kifokar Hashem, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam who has remembered the Jewish people, and he is going to bring about a miracle. At the end of Parashas Beshalach, it's direct. At the end of Parshas Beshalach, it's direct, Vayaminu b'Hashem. The people believe directly in, add the two letters, I-N, add the letter Beis, Vayaminu b'Hashem, uvim Moshe avdo. It wasn't theoretical. It was real. It wasn't, we are the subjects of this event. It's like a dream. This is Ribbono Shel Olam. He made a promise. Okay, he made a promise. And the promise now is being fulfilled. Where is the difference lie between the beginning and the end? So I want to answer this vart with another vart that I saw yesterday. Very beautiful idea. Every day we say in Shemone Esrei, in the first bracha, Melech Oizer U'Moshiach U'Mogein. Hashem is an Oizer and a Moshiach. What is the difference between an Oizer and a Moshiach? There are many answers. There are many different answers to explain the difference between the two. I saw yesterday another answer. I forgot who I saw this from, but I saw another answer. And the difference is an Oizer is when a person is helped without being asked. I have a car parked by a meter. Today doesn't really... I have a car by a meter, and the meter and the meter is running out, and someone I don't even know comes along and he puts a quarter in the meter. Puts a quarter in the meter to to save me from a tikkun. Do I know who did this chesed for me? Did I ask anyone to do this for me? I didn't ask anyone. Someone saw it was an ace tzara, there was a problem, and he came along and he brought about salvation. A person is seen as drowning, so I didn't ask you to help me. And you were so kind and gracious, you came along, out of the goodness of your heart, you came along and you helped me. That is called an oizeh. Or moshiach is when you ask a person, I need help. Please, please help me. I have a problem. Can you please come to my rescue? And the person says, yes, I will help you. You step up and you bring about a salvation for another person. So oizer is when you receive help when you do not ask for it. Someone at the goodness of their heart comes along and gives you assistance. Oymoshia is when you directly ask an individual for help and he listens and he says yes and he is true to his word and he provides you with help. After Kriyas Yamsuf, the pasuk says, "Vayoyisha Hashem b'yoyim ha'hu es b'nei Yisrael miyad mitzrayim." Why does it say in the pasuk "b'yoyim ha'hu"? Of course, it's "b'yoyim ha'hu." What else? We know the calendar. We know the dates. We have many different sources in the Chumash where we can figure out exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about Kriyas Yamsuf. There is absolutely no need for the pasuk to say the words "b'yoyim ha'hu." Vayoyisha Hashem es Yisrael miyad mitzrayim. Why did the Torah go out of its way to add the words Bayoim Hahu? The answer is, this was the first time in the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim that it was a Yeshua, a Yehoshua, and not an Oizer. In other words, all of the 10 Makos Hashem brought for Klal Yisrael without them asking for it. Oh, but they davened. I'm going to hold on one moment. I'm going to show you the difference in how they davened. They davened. It says in the pasuk, "Batal shavasam el hu elokim min hu avoida." All of the davening that the Jewish people, the cries, were not directed to Hashem. All of the help that Klal Yisrael received in Mitzrayim, in the Shibud, was Hashem saw what's going on. Look what's going on over here. I have a nation, and they're being tortured. I can't let this go on. Let me come and be to their assistance. I'm going to go, and I'm going to bring about for them salvation. I'm going to step into the picture and help them. They did not ask me to help. But I, out of the goodness of my heart, are going to enter into the picture and bring for them salvation. That was called an oizer. The 10 makois were in the category of melech oizer. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people directly beseeched Hashem, Hashem, please, you Hashem, help us. We're about to die. And Hashem says, I hear your request and I accept it. Wait, hold one second. Go forward. I will help you. Now let me prove this to you. This is not my, what I'm telling you is not mine. This is a very powerful insight. I saw this in a little sefer I had yesterday. It has a Likud of Mefarshim on the Shir HaSiyam. I apologize, but maybe I'll look it up. I'll tell you in a moment who says it. But look at the words, look at the words of the pasuk. We have the beginning of Parsha Shemos. Okay, Parashat Shemos, and the Shibud gets very, very, very bad. And the Pasuk says, it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi vayomim horabim ohim vayomos melech Mitzrayim. Vayonchu, the Jewish people began to sigh, v'nei Yisrael min ho avoida. Vayizoku, they cried. Does it say anywhere in this Pasuk that they cried to Hashem? Doesn't say. It says that people were being tortured. They were suffering. And they gave out a krechs. They cried, what's going to be over here? They cried out of frustration, out of pain. The Ribbono Shel Olam heard it. It doesn't mean they cried directly to Hashem. They were tortured. The pasuk goes on to say, Vatal Shavosam El Ho Elokim min ho avayda. The cry on its own went up to Hashem from the slave labor. It doesn't say anywhere that they cried to Hashem. Vayishma Elokim es nakos. Hashem heard their cry. Vayisko Elokim es brisoi es Avraham es Yitzchak v'es Yaakov v'yar Elokim es Meishol v'yede Elokim, and the whole process begins. Now, fast forward. Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach, they come to the Yam, they leave Egypt. And then they go back to Baal Tzifon. And then they look behind them. And what do they see? And what do they see when they look behind them? Vayirdufu Mitzrayim Achareihem. Vayasigu Oysam Choynim Al Hayom. Kol Sus Rechev Paro Uforashov V'Chelo Al Pi Achirois Lefnei Baal Tzifon. Ufaro Hikriv. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael seinem v'hinei Mitzrayim lo yaseh achareihem. Vayiru me'oy, they were terrified. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They cried directly el Hashem. It doesn't say vayitzaku. And they cried. Vayizaku is a different word. Vayizaku, they gave out a scream. And it just happens to be, the scream went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on its own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took note. It says here a different expression. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They knew who they were talking to. They had an address. It was a direct plea. And what happened? Then, Vayomer Moshe v'chulu, Hashem says, no, just go. I heard you. Now is not the time to mach b'tzila. Jump into the Yam, you'll be okay. Hashem, you'll see where. Oh, Ru'us Yeshua Hashem. You speak to me, and I answer you. That's called a Yehoshua. Yeshua Hashem. Vayoysha Hashem. Bayoyim Ahu. It was the first time in Jewish history that B'nai Yisrael directly addressed their prayer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not an indirect prayer, directly, and Hashem responded. It was Bayoyim Hahu. It was a Yehoshua. It was not a Melech Oizer. It was for the first time a Moshiach. Good stuff, right? Not my part. I don't say his good stuff. What?
It's not necessarily consistent.
What? I have it at home.
Example,
what? Yeah.
You say in our davening, Shema Hashem Bechaneni.
Yeah.
Hashem Heyeh Ozer Li.
So that doesn't sound contradictory at all. Hashem being Ozer, even if it's
listening
even.
Because listen to me, Hashem. All right?
Okay.
Hashem Heyeh Ozer Li doesn't mean that Hashem does.
Okay. I hear the question loud and clear, and there's what to answer, but we're running out of time. There's what to discuss. It's a great question. I hear it loud and clear. But there is no doubt about it, a lot of truth in what in this Vart. It's not my Vart, so I don't have to apologize. I don't have to defend it. It's not my Vart. It's a very holy Vart. There's something called an Oizer and a Moshiach. Oizer is when someone helps you without being asked. Moshiach is when you ask and they respond. We now have a new insight in Vayoyish Hashem Bayoyimahu. I just want to add this other prat. And that is, that's the difference between Bessie. Bessie, good morning. How are you? Good Erev Shabbos. Rav Meir here is at the service.
No interruption.
No interruption at all. Good to see you. Good Shabbos. What is the difference between Vayamein and Vayaminu Bahashem? In the beginning of Chumash Shemois, it's when Moshe Rabbeinu arrives on the scene, they're not yet in the Madrega of a Yeshua. They're in the Madrega of only of Melech Oizer. Hashem comes to the assistance of those people who are weak and vulnerable. That is why it says in Parshas Shemois, Vayameinu. The people theoretically believed. Vayameinu, they believe that there's a Creator. And there are people who are suffering. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to the rescue. It just happens to be we are those people. But it's not as if that we are directly in communication with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why it says Vayamein Ha'ar. In Parshas B'Shalach, being that it was a direct bakasha to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Vayoyishah Hashem Vayoyimahu, it's a different type of emunah. It's an emunah of Vayaminu Bahashem. The emunah is direct in Hashem. When you are mispalel for something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers you, it's a different type of emunah. When you're not mispalel, I'm not mispalel, I complain. I complain the whole day. That's all I do. I complain, complain, complain. Hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears my complaints. But I'm not speaking to you, Hashem, I'm just complaining. My tefillah is b'derech complaint. I'm talking to myself. Okay, there are different types of tefillah. When you daven, you talk to yourself or you talk to Hashem. It's really both. Some of Farshim said that when you're davening, you're only talking to yourself. Hashem knows everything. Hashem, you talk to yourself. When you talk to yourself, you're making yourself aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is, He's going to help you. He can help you. There's a higher madrake of davening when you talk to Hashem. When you talk to yourself and you complain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you, you know what you achieve? Vayamein Ha'am. That's beautiful. That's an emunah that is an outgrowth of Melech Oizer. And then there's an emunah that's an outgrowth of Umashiach. And how do you get an outgrowth of a Mashiach? You know how you get that? You get that when you daven to Hashem. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And Hashem answers. Then it's Yeshua. Vayoyisha Hashem b'yoyimahu for the first time. Ooh, I pray to you and you answer me. It's no more vayamein ha'am. Theoretically, we believe there's such a principle. Hashem promises, Hashem rewards, Hashem is aware. I'm part of the game. Vayaminu b'Hashem. You believe directly in Hashem. It's no longer third person. It's first person. You are directly involved in the narrative, in the story, in the situation. It's a whole new league. Okay, so review. We have over here an emunah in Parshas Shavuos, an emunah in Parshas B'Shalach. We have a principle called Oizer U'Moshiach. One is where you're being helped by yourself. Hashem comes in for the save. One is where you speak the Kadosh Baruch Hu. After Kriyas Yamsuf, we find it being called Vayoysha Hashem B'Yoymahu. Ru'us Yeshua Hashem. Why? Because that only came after a bakasha, a direct bakasha. And that direct bakasha, not just in the koich ha-tzfila and the koich of salvation, it also reflects the gain of the emuna, the difference between vayamein ha'am and vayaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe avdo. Okay, let's go to the next vart. Next vart. The Parshas B'Shalach, after they leave the Kriyas Yamsuf, their first stop, Pasuk says, after Oz Yashir, they complain for water, b'chulu b'chulu, and then they begin to travel. Okay, they begin to travel after Hashem gives them food, everything quiets down. They have mon, they have slav, everyone is fine and good, and now it's time to get the show on the road. What does the Pasuk say in the beginning of Perek Yitzayin? Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimidbar sin lemas ehem al pi Hashem vayachanu birfidin. Okay, this was the first travel after all the dust settled. What is the word vayachanu? Is this b'loshen yochid or b'loshen rabin? B'loshen rabin, vayachanu they. Parshas Yisrael, when they come to Har Sinai, vayichan. B'loshen yochid. Rashi, what's vayichan? Ki ish echad, b'leiv echad, achdus, arvus. It was the highlight of Jewish history, the moment ilu kervanu lefnei Har Sinai. V'loi nosan lanu esadar. Who cares about the Torah? V'loi nosan. Klal Yisrael achieved achdus. Vayichan ki ish echad, b'leiv echad. I don't believe it. I don't believe such a thing is possible, not in my wildest imagination, that there can be such a thing that we all can sit at the same table. Impossible.
That was a one-shot deal.
Ilu kervanu lifnei har Sinai. V'loi nosalanu es ha-Torah. The Torah was the whole everything. Yisrael v'yoraisa v'kushu. The Torah was created, the Bereshis, Bishvil Reshis. You can quote a million Amari Chazal, and you know you can take all the Amari Chazal talk about the godless of Torah? Forget about it. I don't even want to know from it. The achievement of Ayichan? Ki'ish Echad? This is impossible. But that's what happened. Until that point in time, right after all the miracles, what do we have here? It's still Vayachanu, each his own. There's a Satna Shtibel, there's a Belza Shtibel, there's a Litvish Shtibel, a Mar Orda Shtibel, Vayachanu. Everyone has their own, to each his own. My high, how did they get, even after all the miracles of Ten Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf and the Mon and the Slav and the Be'er and the Giluyim, it's still Vayachanu. How did they go from Vayachanu to Vayichan? The answer is, I have no idea. That's the real, real answer. I have no clue. Something must have happened. But I want to give you a drush. It's not the real answer, but I want to give you a nice little drush. How they went from Vayachanu to Vayichan. What do you lane in between Parshas Beshalach, which concludes with Vayachanu, and Parshas Yisro, which begins with Vayichan? What do you lane in between these two sections, these two parshas? Oh, Amalek, I'm calling Amalek all part of Beshalach. What do you lane with a bracha? What do you lane? Oh, very good. Rebbe is on the ball. You lane something very special in between Parshas Beshalach and Yisro. You lane Shiras Devar. What is Shiras Devar all about? From beginning to end, with no exception, every pasuk reflects the same theme. Responsibility to someone else. Responsibility. Let me show you. I'm not making this up. What happens in the beginning of Parshas, in the beginning of the Shira, Devorah, Isha Nevi'ah, Eish Eslav, she gets a message that Baruch ben Avinoyam, Mikedesh, that Sisra is about to wage war against Klal Yisrael. We're in trouble. We are in trouble. We are facing genocide. We're in a lot of trouble. So what does she do? She summons Baruch, her husband. Baruch ben Avinoyam, was her husband? Baruch ben Avinoyam?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
She summons Baruch. Vatikro livorok ben Avinoyam, mikedesh naftali vatamer lov. Haloi, tziva Hashem, I have a nevuah. She was a nevuah. I have a prophecy, Hashem's going to help us. Will you help? I need your help. Rally the troops. Sound the alarm. Help your fellow Jew. Haloi tziva Hashem Elokei Yisrael lech. Go umoshachta behar tovar. V'lokachta imcha, take with you aseres alav mishri b'nei Naftali b'nei Zevulon. Rally the troops. Umoshachti, I'm going to bring success. Umoshachti elech es nachal kishoin es sisra sar tzvei yalvon v'yashrichmo v'yayis hamoinoi unisatil v'yodecha. Please help. I'm telling you, I have a prophecy straight from the Ribbono Shel Olam that we will be successful. And you know what he says? I'm not interested. I have better things to do. I got better things to do. If you'll go, I'll also go. Maybe, if you'll go, Vayomer Elech Barak, Im Telchi Imi V'Holochti. If you'll come with me, I'll go. V'im lo selchi imi, lo eilich. I'm really not interested. I have to go study the Mefarshim in detail what exactly said to her, but one thing is certain, I'm not really interested. Hashem, but your fellow Jews are in danger. Who cares? I'm not really interested. It's not my problem.
let them go call Shimon and call the politicians. Call Misaskim to clean up, to clean, and call Shimon to wage the war. Don't bother me. That's what he said. If you'll go, you'll persuade me a little bit more, maybe I'll go. What a terrible thing. So you know what she said to him? Okay, you don't want to go? It will go on record what you just said. And indeed, it will be a bizoyan for you because this war will be won by a woman, not by you. And for all posterity, your name will be, you'll be a bizoyan for you. Without going into all the gory details of how and what this all means about women versus men, not for today, of course. But Vatoimer Holoich Eilich, Imach, okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you, I'll help you out. But because you did not have the courage to go to war, Hashem said, help your fellow Jew. Efes! Kilo siyas tif'artecha al haderech hasherat oholech. You will be zionites for you. Ki biyad isha yimkor Hashem es sisra v'atokam devoyra v'atelech imbora keitcha. Then the whole story, then we come to the Shira. And what is the Shira all about? The Shira is about, the first pasuk is Pasuk Beis, the first pasuk of the Shira. Vatosha Dvara Bivardam Bayamahu Lemar Bifroya Pirois Bi Yisrael. When there is a tragedy in Klal Yisrael, when there's a pritza, you know what it's all about? Bihisnadev Om. When the common men, when the Om are misnadev, they give of themselves to help their fellow man, Baruch Hu Hashem. That's where it's kedai to make a bracha.
But don't she want to lecture the tribes?
Exactly. The ones that she goes on, the whole Shir is all about praising the people that listened to the call to help and cursing
those who
did not. And the pasuk that repeats itself twice, which is the subject of so much discussion, is Bepalgois Ruvain. Where is the pasuk? Give me 1 second. Let me find the pasuk. Lefalgois Ruvain Gidoilim Chikrei Lev. The fact that Ruvain can be part of Peleg, you know what I just said, who does not want to join the rest of Klal Yisrael. Peleg means, Lefalgois means to separate themselves from the rest of Klal Yisrael and join them and fight and be part of the Milchama against Sisra. Gidoilim Chikrei Lev is beyond human comprehension why a Jew would not come to the assistance of another fellow Jew. It's a Peleg. The Peleg took this name for themselves because the pasuk over here says the most horrible things. Gidoilim Chikrei Lev. Gidoilim Chikrei Lev. Not to help another fellow Jew? Not to be a partner with him in coming to the assistance of someone? Bepalgois Ruvain, and she goes on, Gilad, Chutzpah, Be'eder Hayardin Shochein, you don't want to come help me? Vidon, Lama Yogur Onios, you sat there on your ships. Osher, Yashav L'choif Yamim, V'al Nifratzov Yishkoin, Zvulon, what a disgrace. Am Cherif Nafshoi Lomos, V'naftali Al Meroi Meisodeh. She goes on to curse them all out. How dare you? How dare you not come to the assistance of Klal Yisrael? And the only success in Klal Yisrael comes as the pasuk first begins, Bifroya Pirois Bi Yisrael, when there is a peritza, when there's a breach in Klal Yisrael, where is the blessing of Hashem found? The brocha of Hashem is found Bihisnadev Om. When the people are misnadev, they give of themselves. The whole Shira, what is smack in between Vayachanu, division in Klal Yisrael, to Vayichan, Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad, is found in between the Shira, in between Bishalach and Yisro, is responsibility. The acceptance of responsibility for your fellow Jew. That is what will take you between Vayachanu and Vayichan. It's Bifroya Pirois Bi Yisro Behisnadev Om. That is where you will find Baruch Hu Hashem. You will find the blessing of Hashem. That's the glue, the acceptance of responsibility to help your fellow Jew in a time of need. This is the glue between the two parashios.
When do we feed the birds?
The Shabbos.
After the first lining and before the second lining.
After the first, today in the middle of the Shalach. Responsibility. Responsibility to have
Rachmanis.
Okay, you're coming to add to the birds. You feel now a new responsibility. Okay, very good. Okay, let's now go to another quick idea before we run out of time. Okay, this idea we discussed yesterday the fact that the Shira, the last pasuk of the Shira, is not part of the Shira. And what does that mean? It means that we come to Hashem Yimlech Most Bali Kriya. We'll conclude the Shira with Hashem Yimlech Li'olam Voed. Hashem Yimlech Li'olam Voed. That's it. Oh, but there's another pasuk in the Chumash that is written Oriach Hagabi Levena. It's part of the style of writing of the Shira. The next pasuk, Kiva Sus Paro Berichvay Uvi Farasha Vayam Vayoshev Hashem Alei Mesmei Yam Uvnei Yisrael Holchu Vayabasha Besochayam. So that is not part of the Shira. It goes according to some of the Rishain. Okay, I think it's the most commonly accepted pshat that part of the pasuk is just a historical record. That's not part of the Shira. It's not meant to be sung. The Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Kriya, should not end off that last pasuk. Like regular. He should not end off Holchu Vayabasha B'Soi Chayom. That's incorrect, because that's not part of the Shira. The Shira ends with the words Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. We do again sing Miriam, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah. We sing another pasuk. That's a later pasuk. But this chunk of the Shira is over with Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Voed. That's correct. Question, why then is there one more pasuk that is included in the Shira, in the Tzura, in this big block of letters that is written Oriach al Gabi Levena? There's blank space like bricks. Why does it go on for one more pasuk? Why can't we have arranged the writing of the Shira to end with Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed? That is the end of the line, and that's it. And now the psukim of the Torah begin to be written normally like they were before. So I want to suggest to you the following very simple answer. As a Hagdama, we're very well aware that we eat on Pesach Matzah. Why do we eat Matzah? So why do we eat Matzah? So we say in the Haggadah, Call me Shloi Amar Shloisha Dvarim Elu Lo Yotza Yidei Chayvasa BePesach. The Elohein, Pesach Matzah Mar. Matzah, Al Shom, Shloi Hispik, Bitzekam, Shel Avasenu Lahachmitz, At Shehigle Alehem Melech Malchi Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ugi Olam. You know how we eat Matzah? It represents Gilui Shechina, the ultimate revelation of Hashem. We were baking the bread, and it will take a few more minutes until it rises, and we could have nice, delicious, hot, fluffy bread. And then, Gilu Shechina, Hashem appeared. The Shechina came down to this world and said, get going, move, quick, get out of here. Gilu Shechina, that's what it represents. We don't have time because HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us. So it's a very sublime food, matzah. It represents the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't have time to bake. Read the Haggadah. I'm not making this up. It says in the Haggadah, Matzah represents the revelation of Hashem. But there's another dimension to Matzah. It's called Lechem Oni, poor man's bread. A prusa, we don't even need a whole matzah, a piece of matzah. It's stale, it's hard, you break your teeth on it. Why matzah? Because when we were slaves, the Egyptians fed us matzah. Because matzah is cheap, it's easy. You don't know, it's easy, and it stays in your stomach. You can feed the slaves less. It's the ultimate poor man's bread. So what is it? Does it represent poverty, homelessness, or does it represent the Gilui Shechina? What is it? It's contradictory.
You're going mamash mikotze elakotze. To say that it means gilui shchina, and on the other hand, to say it means lechem oini lechem, poor man's bread. So what is the answer? It's both. Okay, being a Jew, you have to be a little sophisticated. There are many dimensions to life. Not everything is black and white. There are many dimensions, many layers to every single thing in life. The bread is both. What is the shira? The shira is oriach agabi levena. Why? Many sublime reasons why a song is written oriach agabi levena. It has airspace. There's avir. There are windows in the middle. And music and shira only comes through wind, through air. You need wind instruments. When you blow, you play instruments, you have to blow things, or you have to harp. There has to be wind. Avir is critical to shira. Birds are the masters of shir, because the birds live in the air. We discussed this yesterday. Very sublime reasons. A shira is organized. It's this construction. There are silent parts of the song, and there are parts of the song where there are vocals. There are different elements of the song where there are sounds and there are no sounds. But Rabbi Yisai, there's something else very important. There's something else very important about bricks. And what is that? When the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, they built pyramids. They made the pyramids. The pyramids were made from brick. They were made. They were made with Ariach and Levena. And in fact, when there were not enough bricks, what did the Egyptians do? They took the children and they put the children in the wall in the place of a brick, a Levena. The torture of Klal Yisrael was all built on a foundation of bricks. They had to make the bricks, put the bricks in position. If they did not have enough bricks, their children were taken and substituted as bricks. The horrors of the Shibud of Mitzrayim was all about Ariach al Gabe Levena. Making the bricks, putting the bricks into position, and what happened, the consequences if you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You say the word brick to a survivor of Egypt, he would faint, because it brought back all the horrors of Mitzrayim. When we read the Shira, we conclude with one more pasuk that's not the Shira. And that one pasuk by design is written in the form of the Shira. Because the Shira is written Ariach Agabi Levena. There are two elements, just like the matzah is lechem oini, mitzad echad it's lechem oini, it's poor man's bread. It reminds us of what happened. Mitzad sheini, it's shehigda lehem, gilu shchina. The Ariach Agabi Levena has two elements. It has the element of gilu shchina. Ro'oso shivcha shebaya masheloi roho yecheskel ben buzi. This structure of a Ariach Agabi Levena with the avir, it's sublime. But mitzad sheni, it's lechem oini. It recalls the horrors of what happened in the time of the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Choymer ulevenim. The torture was with choymer ulevenim, with bricks, and everything that it involved. We end off the Shira with a yizkar. It's a beautiful day tomorrow. We have the shira. We sing the shira with choymer ulevenim. But the last pasuk is haskaras neshamas. A clap, haskaras neshamas. Kiva sus paroi berichvay uvefarashayim vayoshev aleim esmehayon. The Egyptians got what they deserved. Why? Because they got what they deserved. We left Egypt and we didn't forget what happened to us in Egypt. We didn't forget the torture, the suffering, the korbanos, the chamushim alu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. 4/5 did not make it. Why? Because it was too much. The choyim and the levenim was too overwhelming. The last pasuk that's written in the tzura is the Yizkar that we recite following the celebration of our survival and our success in succeeding in coming out of Mitzrayim and reciting Shira. Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful Shabbos.